This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in today's show, let's all go to the movies. We'll learn about the history of Cincinnati movie theaters, as well as look at some of today's films. First up this afternoon, Ohio Governor John Kasich announced his presidential candidacy today, his second bid for the White House. He enters an already crowded field, becoming the 16th candidate to officially jump into the race. WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson joins us to talk about Governor Kasich's chances of winning his party's nomination and whether he even has a shot at being one of the 10 candidates with poll numbers high enough to win him a place on stage at the first GOP debate on August 6th. You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Howard, good to see you this afternoon.
Good to be here.
Kasich made his announcement just before noon today at Ohio State University. So what did you think of what he had to say? What were your impressions?
Well, number one, the venue was interesting because he was a graduate of Ohio State University. He did it at the Student Union, or the Ohio Union, up on campus. He had people like Archie Griffin was there, making a little introductory speech. It was all kind of a Ohio State, almost a pep rally.
I think they even played Hang on Sloopy at one point.
Probably
didn't they?
So, yeah. But, you know, he had to make this announcement, and he had to make it in Ohio, and he had to make it in a familiar place, which is the Ohio State University. And then he had to hit the road and start going to the places like New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina and Nevada, which is what he'll be doing over the next few days. These early primary and caucus states where he has to do well.
Now, in listening to the speech he made today, Howard, this is pretty much standard fare for Governor Kasich. He always emphasizes how he's just like the rest of us and how we're all in this together. You think that's a message that's going to resonate with GOP voters in the primaries?
Well, it's a pretty good message in the way he presents it. I mean, he talks about, you know, he grew up in kind of a tough suburb town of Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania by birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His father was a mailman. He lost his parents at an early age. He talks about how his mailman father was known to people in the community as someone who helped people. And he said that that's what we're put here on earth to do, is to help people. And he couches it often in religious terms. That's a matter of faith for him. And it's the kind of thing you're not used to hearing all the time from a presidential candidate.
Now, he's taking that everyman theme then. And that's pretty common to what he does.
Well, he's trying to say, you know, I mean, and he said it. He said it in the speech. He said, you know, this is not about me. It's about us. It's about bringing people together and solving problems and trying to, you know, make this a better country. There's too much that divides us. There's much more that unites us. And that's a message which is probably a pretty good general election message. I'm not sure it's a great, primary message in some states, because you have some very partisan people who show up in Republican primaries to vote.
Now, Kasich comes in, he's number 16 to enter on the GOP side. Why do you think his timing worked out this way? Why is he making this decision to make the entry now?
Well, it was a tough decision for him to make. I mean, first of all, he had to check, you know, I mean, he had to see if he could raise the kind of money and garner the kind of support that you need to run a national campaign. This 527 nonprofit committee that's set up to support him has raised $11.5 million, which isn't bad. And he's spent the bulk of his time in New Hampshire and seems to be focusing on that first in the nation primary state as a place where he could break through. And it's almost like putting all your eggs in one basket, and a risky strategy, but it's one that he's going to pursue, I think.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And what do you think, Howard, that Kasich's going to need to do to make it into that first debate?
Well,
he's got a lot of work ahead of him, doesn't he?
He really does. I mean, he has a name recognition problem. Most people around the country couldn't tell you who the governor of the state of Ohio is. He has to introduce himself to people in New Hampshire, Iowa, South Carolina, all these places, to Republican voters. You mentioned the Fox News debate on August 6th. They're going to take, and you know, now we've got like 16 Republican candidates, for president. They're going to take five national polls, average them out, and invite the top 10 finishers to be in this debate. If that debate was held today, John Kasich wouldn't be in it. He would not make the top 10. So he needs a very big bump in the polling, you know, because of this announcement and because of the tour that he's going to do to get his numbers up into the top 10 to be in this debate. Now, why is that important? Because that debate is going to be held in Cleveland, in his home state, at Quicken Loans Arena, which is also the site of next summer's Republican National Convention. And it would be a tremendous embarrassment to him if he failed to make a Republican presidential debate in his home state.
So how much of a bump do you think he gets from today's announcement?
I don't know. Most of these candidates get a little bit. Some get more than others. I think it's how they spend their money. One thing that Kasich and Kasich supporters have done in the last few weeks prior to the announcement today is that they started running TV ads in New Hampshire. And they're very good TV ads. And they spent a lot of money on them. And it's probably helped raise his profile in New Hampshire to a certain extent. And it's too early to tell, but it may have raised his standing in the polls in New Hampshire as well. We'll have to wait and see.
Now, David Axelrod tweeted that he thinks Kasich is a top-tier candidate.
Yeah.
Does he have a point?
I think potentially, yes. I mean, look, he's from – all you need to know is he's from Ohio. Ohio is the bellwether state of the nation. It is a swing state. It is very important. There has been no Republican president in the history of the Republican Party to be elected to the presidency without winning Ohio. And he's going to go out and try to make this argument that he was the guy who came in after the 2010 election, following Ted Strickland after he defeated Ted Strickland for the governorship and turned the economy around. And he took this deficit and turned it into a surplus and he restored jobs and he had what he calls the Ohio miracle. A lot of people take issue with that, but that's what he's running on. He's saying, I can do for the nation what I did for Ohio.
Now, this is going to be his second run for the White House,
yes.
Howard. How did he do that first time around? That was in 2000?
Yeah, in 2000. Actually, it was in 1999 when he started. You know, he had been the House budget chairman, very powerful position, but not well known to the general public. And he decided he was going to run for president. But in that early situation, you had a number of Republicans vying for the nomination, but George W. Bush had basically sucked up all the money. I mean, he was just, you know, the money was just pouring into his campaign. And particularly even, you know, a lot of it centered here in Ohio and in Cincinnati. And Bush just kind of sucked all the air out of the room, and there was no place for a candidate like John Kasich. I mean, he couldn't get any kind of traction or any kind of name recognition. Couldn't raise money. And even now, I mean, he'll tell you now that it was way too early. He should not have done it at that point.
But do you think he could face the same thing again with a different member of the Bush family sucking up all the campaign money?
It's possible. You know, and Bush has raised a whole lot of money. Now, Bush is not George W. Bush. Jeb Bush has gotten off to somewhat of a slow start, in this thing. It's obviously a very crowded field, but as Axelrod said, I don't think you can discount him just because he is the governor of a major state. He's got a resume and he's got a story to tell. And a lot of these other candidates don't quite have that resume or the story.
Now, what do you think this does to Senator Rob Portman? Is he going to have to take sides on this, Jeb Bush or John Kasich?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it puts people like Rob Portman is very loyal to the Bush family, always has been. I mean, he worked in both Bush administrations, Bush 41 and Bush 43. Puts him in a kind of a bad spot. He put out a statement right after Kasich's speech, you know, saying that he thinks that John Kasich will be a formidable candidate, that he has a good story to tell. But he stopped short of endorsing Kasich for governor. But he was, you know, very effusive in his praise of Kasich. It's a tough situation for him. And then the other big Republican leader in Ohio is John Boehner, the Speaker of the House. And so far, he's been quiet on this.
Now, if I counted right, the GOP has four former governors and three current governors. Yeah. So that's seven candidates out of the total of 16 running for this nomination. How do you think Kasich compares to the other governors and former governors?
Well, I think he comes off of an election last year, in which he beat a very weak Democratic opponent and won by an amazing percentage. And he is very popular here in Ohio at this point. His approval ratings are very, very high. I'm not sure that's the case with all of these governors and former governors. Like I said before, he has this Ohio miracle story that he likes to tell. And a lot of people are going to argue with him about that. But nonetheless, that's going to be the theme of the campaign.
Yeah, and to me, he seems a little bit more like Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker with the issues he's tackled. Particularly, he tackled the issue of public labor unions.
Right.
Walker was successful in his case, and Kasich was not.
Yeah.
What do you think the whole that was Senate Bill 5, right?
Senate Bill 5.
What do you think that whole thing does to his campaign?
Well, I think I don't think it's going to make much difference in the Republican primary contests. You know. Republican primary voters that are really not worried about candidates who attack unions. I mean, it's just not, it's just not a big issue to them. It could be a big issue in a general election if he were to win the nomination or if he were to become the vice presidential candidate even. But I don't think it's a huge deal as far as, the primaries.
We'll continue our conversation about Governor Kasich's presidential candidacy with WVXU's Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, along with WVXU's Howard Wilkinson. Governor John Kasich has officially entered the crowded primary for the GOP presidential nomination, and you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Governor Kasich, he embraces conservative ideas, but he's gone against his party on occasion. And is that something that's going to help him or is that something that's going to hurt him? How do you think that plays into this whole thing?
Some of his positions on issues are outside of the sort of the Republican orthodoxy. He's one of those handful of Republican governors who has decided to accept Medicaid under Obamacare. You know, he just flat makes the argument, says we need it. It's money that Ohioans sent to Washington. We should get it back. And it can help a lot of people who are in need, people who are poor. And sometimes he's very directly critical of the party, saying that Republicans do not do enough for the poorest people among us. You know, then we have an obligation. And he talks about it in terms of, sooner or later, I'm going to have to.
And he couches it in religious terms, like you're saying.
Oh, yeah. He says, I'm going to someday have to stand before St. Peter at the Golden Gates, and he's going to ask me what I did for my fellow human beings, and I'm going to have an answer. And so that rubs some Republicans the wrong way. And, you know, he's also, you know, supports Common Core education standards. He's, you know, but he's not your typical party line all the way type of candidate.
Now, one of Kasich's supporters says Kasich would be a president who doesn't need any on-the-job training. And I can see making this kind of an argument for someone for him when it comes to domestic issues.
Right.
How is he going to stack up, though, on foreign policy issues?
I don't know. I mean, that's very difficult for any presidential candidate to deal with who has not had a position where you deal with, like Hillary Clinton, obviously. Has been Secretary of State. That's what she did for a living, was deal with foreign affairs. And you can argue about what kind of job she did, but she has that kind of experience. Kasich was on the Armed Services Committee. He has some, you know, understanding of the military and the, and military strength of the U.S. But when it comes to real foreign policy experience, he doesn't have a lot, and I don't think there are many Republican presidential candidates who do. So I think they're pretty much all in the same boat.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Christine in Hyde Park. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Hello.
So what's your question?
Well, regarding Kasich's propaganda that he did the Ohio Miracle, to me, Ohio benefited from the big federal stimulus and the propping up of the auto manufacturing, the same thing that took the state down. And yet, Kasich appears to poo-poo any of that kind of federal stuff, and it's solely what helped Ohio. It had little to do with the actions he took when he entered office.
So he's taking credit where credit isn't due then.
Well, yeah, and that's you know, the argument that the Democratic Party is already making. You know, they my mailbox is full of emails from the Democrats making that very point. But you got to remember, he's running in Republican primaries where his message might resonate with those kind of voters. It might not be a very good message to take into a general election where you have a whole lot of independent voters and obviously Democrats that you want to try to win over, and make that argument that you saved Ohio all by yourself.
Thanks for the call, Christine. Kasich worked for nearly a decade in the financial industry, Howard. Mm-hmm. He was a managing director for Lehman Brothers, and Lehman filed for bankruptcy in 2008, was part of the financial crisis at that time. How much do you think that's going to be an issue for him? I mean, is this something Democrats are already taking aim at?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're already banging him over the head with Lehman Brothers, which they did, you know, when he ran for governor originally in 2010 and when he ran for reelection in 2014. How big an issue is it going to be? He says, I don't care. Let him talk about it. He said, I'm proud of what I did, you know, with Lehman Brothers. I'm happy to talk about it. Again, I see it as more of a general election issue if he wins the nomination than as an issue in the Republican primaries.
Now, so far, he's resisted going after Hillary Clinton or President Obama. And what he's saying is if he has to trash people to win, you can count him out of this whole race.
Yeah.
So in a weird sort of way, is he the anti-Trump here?
Yeah, well, he is in a lot of ways. But that's, you know, that's his – at the core of his message that, you know, it's not about tearing down others. It's about building up – everybody, you know, he talked about that in his speech at Ohio State today about how people have to come together. We have to forget about, you know, what divides us and concentrate on what unites us. Now, he can say that now, but if he becomes the nominee of the Republican Party and he's running against Hillary Clinton, well, his tune might change a bit.
So at this point,
there's so much independent expenditures. He doesn't have to be the bad guy. some of these other committees that support him, the super PACs and the 527 committees, can spend money on his behalf attacking his opponents. And he doesn't have to do it.
So do you think, though, at this point, it's a smart move to take that tone?
Sure. I think it's it's a natural thing to do.
So what does Kasich's entry into the race mean for Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor?
I think it's suddenly people are going to start realizing who she is. I mean, most people don't think about the lieutenant governor of the state of Ohio, but she's probably going to have a bigger role to play. Running for president is like a full-time job. I mean, you have to be on the road constantly, and he's going to have to delegate a lot of the authority that he has to her and other members of his cabinet. So she's going to have a much higher profile.
So realistically, what kind of chance do you think that Governor Kasich has? First, of winning the GOP primary, second, of winning the White House?
I think it's entirely possible that he could win this nomination. I don't think I would not by any means call him the favorite going into this thing. I think that if he were willing, it's more likely that he could end up with the second spot on the ticket as a vice presidential candidate from Ohio and help whoever the GOP nominee is win Ohio.
Yeah, that would be a pretty big deal. That's why we have heard all the talk about Rob Portman being a vice presidential candidate, because this is such a bellwether state.
Right. Yeah, and Kasich is popular, and at this point anyway, in the state of Ohio, he could help.
So what do you see in his political future? If he doesn't win the nomination, if he doesn't get picked as the vice presidential nominee, what do you think he does after this?
Well,
goes back to being governor for a few more years.
But. Yeah. He has the rest of his term, and he's certainly not going back to Lehman Brothers because they're gone, but
they're not around anymore.
But you know, he also had a job at Fox News. He had a show on Fox. He won't go away. He's a relatively young man. I could see him, running for Senate someday or, some other office.
Well, Howard, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. And coming up, we'll take a look at the history of Cincinnati movie theaters and look at some of today's films. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.